Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping into the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, and I am your host as well as chief encourager and author. In order for you to hang out with us in this awesome space, all that's required for you to do is sit back, open your mind, and enjoy the show. So today we are talking about the episode 5 recap on Centric TV's new show, Queen Boss. Like I said, we are in episode 5 now. We have gone through quite a few weeks of competition. We're getting close to the end now. And the show takes 18 entrepreneurs, 3 per episode, and has them pitch their ideas. And in the end, one person is the winner for that episode and they move on to the final round. We still don't really know what the final round looks like, but I guess we'll know soon enough. So, as I've been doing in weeks past, I'm going to tell you who I favored, let's say, for this episode. And for me, I'd have to say that the actual first person to pitch, Melody Narin, she's my pick. I just favored her because I felt like I could really see her product going the distance, and I could see it being everywhere. I could see it being in stores like Bed Bath & Beyond. I could see it being given for Christmas gifts. It just seemed like it had a lot of potential, and there was a lot of marketplace where she hadn't covered yet, but she could. So Melody's product is called Soul Savers, and they are rollable shoes that are specifically geared towards women, obviously. They are rollable because they're almost in the style of ballet flats, but they seem a little bit simpler, and maybe the material seems to be softer so that you can actually roll them. But the idea is that they can be a replacement when your feet are hurting and you need out of your heels. So she told the story about how this product came about. And for her, it was out of seeing a space for a need when she was pregnant. She came down with a condition that caused her ankles, her legs, her knees, and everything to swell. So it seems as though she wasn't able to wear heels like she normally would be able to. And as she got to talking to different women and just trying to survey her, the people around her, it seemed like it would be a good idea and women would really be interested in a product that was able to, you know, give you comfort and relief, but you could take it with you on the go. So you can swap out of your heels and get into her Soul Savers. The thing that I really liked was she has a charitable element, and if we all are familiar with Tom's shoes, if you're not familiar, you've probably been under a rock. I remember when Tom's first started, I was working in PR in LA, and they were actually giving away pairs of their shoes at a gifting suite, a celebrity gifting suite that I was working, doing PR for. And I remember them because the charitable element really stood out. It was like for every pair of shoes that they sold, they were putting a pair of shoes on a child less fortunate in a third world country. That idea really took off, and I think that people really understand the importance and the connections that consumers make with businesses that have a charitable element to them. So Melody's business has a charitable element. She said that thus far she has sold over 600 pairs of shoes, made over $12,000, and gave away 25% of the money to charities. The charity arm of the business is Creating Shoes for Life. That, I guess, is going to be the name of the program. And when she says for life, it could be trying to prevent domestic violence, different things that will basically continue to enhance and expand the opportunity for life for other people. She says that with the Queen Boss money, if she were to win, she would invest 50% of the money in marketing. And that seems like it's probably a good idea because one of the judges, Candy, and I forgot to tell you guys who the judges were this week. Sorry. So the judges this week were Lauren, who's been a regular judge, Lauren Lake, Candy Burrs, who we're all familiar with from her extensive career, and now she's on Real Housewives of Atlanta, and she is a business mogul. She has like tons of businesses and a crazy amount of experience. And then Carla Hall was the third judge, and she is a celebrity chef co-host on The True. And actually, I found out that she's a former model, and she actually has her CPA as well. So she's a woman of many talents. But in any case, back to Melody. So Candy's question was, how are you different from all of the other brands out there that that sell similar products and similar items? Candy mentioned that she had given products or these slipper type shoes to all of her wedding guests from another brand. And Melody just straight up, her differentiating factor is the charitable element. That's her win. And the judges did note that the shoes had a more of a cushion in the sole than maybe they had experienced before. So that was a win for her. Overall, it seemed like the judges liked the idea, and it seemed like she had a really engaging pitch. She was able to wrap them in to her pitch and her idea immediately. They were definitely understanding where she was coming from. So I think she did a really good job. Next up was Dana Hill. Dana's business is Cocoteque. Cocoteque is a deluxe beauty box subscription service for women of color. It's a monthly box where she ships 5 to 8 full or deluxe size products. And it includes hair care, nail care, beauty, eyelashes, makeup, nail polishes, all those types of things. She said that the business model is such that she does not pay for the products that are shipped in the boxes. And I guess some of them are, she didn't say some of them are sample size, but she said that the products are marketing materials for these companies that she's getting them from. So, but she did say 5 to 8 full or deluxe size products in the boxes. So maybe some are sample, maybe some are full size. We didn't quite make that distinction. But in any case, she says that she's worked with over 130 brands in her first 3 years of business. Everything from high end to mass produced, as well as emerging businesses. The one key and benefit for her is that she highlights and saves a spot for a woman of color, a black woman entrepreneur's products in every box. So when asked about her differentiating factor, that was something that she was leaning towards, is that she wants to help empower smaller businesses and black women in getting their merchandise and their products out there to the masses. So her boxes retail for $20. So it's $20 a month. And someone mentioned she had over 2,000 people subscribed. I don't remember hearing her say that, but maybe I missed it. But I do remember the judges mentioning 2,000 in subscriptions. So that's good. Obviously, there has to be some type of market for it, and she's tapped into it. Her profits, she said, are anywhere between $11 and $12 per box. And Candy did point out, which Candy was very good at this particular episode, pointing out and asking people, hey, you know, you have a product that already exists. Maybe they're not doing exactly like you do it, but there's something like this already out in the marketplace. What makes your product different? Candy wanted to know. She wanted to know that for Melody and she and her Soul Savers. And she also wanted to know that from Dana. So Dana didn't really have this concrete answer that shut Candy down, where Candy didn't have anything else to say. Oop, boop, question, no questions, done. I get it. That's why your product is different. But, you know, she did her best. She definitely did her best. So then Lauren goes into Dana's relatability. She wanted to know about her relatability and being able to pitch the product. That's when Dana started to, I guess, let her wall down a little bit, and she shared that this product and this business is her baby, because she was in an abusive relationship and she had to sort of start over. And this is a part of her starting over process. This is something that she's dove headfirst into. And this company is her everything. So I think the judges really were able to connect with her sort of story of redemption and strength via her past. And Lauren just was looking for a little bit more personality, maybe. She didn't use that word personality, but I think when you come in, when Dana comes in after Melody, who came in automatically asking questions and really connected with the judges, maybe, you know, Dana following up and coming in and being very businesslike, almost a little stern and cold, they didn't know how to receive that. So that was their feedback for Dana. Third was Monique Johnson. Monique's business name was Sweets for Miles. I thought the name was so cute. It's a bakery specializing in Southern style dessert. Now, the reason I thought that the name was so cute is because the business and the bakery is in memory of her son, Miles. And her son, Miles, was diagnosed at 2 years old with a tumor that they knew would be terminal. I think he ended up passing away, because she said that he gained his wings in 2008, and I think he was 15. So, and she did share a picture of him, which was really touching. And her goal was to be on the shelf next to brands like Duncan Hines. So while Miles was alive, her and Miles baked cookies to bring smiles to other kids' faces. That was a part of their mission and what they did together. And I think a testament that she shared to her resilience and her ability to just keep striving and going forward was that while Miles was sick and you know, while she was taking care of him, she wasn't able to work a full-time job, but she managed to go to school and get her degree in culinary arts and really like take on this this career and make something out of nothing, it seems. So she's a definitely like a strong woman, and that strength I think is going to carry her a long way. She said that she would use the money, if she were to win Queen Boss, she would use the money to put back into her business, which has only been open for 5 weeks. Now, at first when I heard 5 weeks, I was thinking, 5 weeks? How'd she even make it on the show? But that's her storefront. So she's probably, I got the idea that she was probably selling baked goods around her town or in her area for years, you know, and now she's finally been able to open up a storefront. So they started getting into the numbers. She knew her numbers, which was great. She said she made $6,000 so far in the 5 weeks, and she said that her expenses are no more than $2,000 a month. Lauren wanted to know her marketing materials. She wanted to know about her marketing materials and what her strategy was. And I think you could tell that Monique wasn't so sure what was going on and what to do with the marketing and stuff. That wasn't her strength. And she hadn't been working with anybody outside. She hadn't hired a team. She hadn't hired a team to help her with marketing and business strategies or anything like that. I mean, go figure. She hadn't even hired a team to help her with baking. So she really hadn't gotten to the business element of things. So I think she was really trying to put things together, and she is going with her gut and following her dream of, you know, making this company big and successful in memory of her son. And I don't really think that she was so much worried about all the nuts and bolts of the business, but maybe this pitch with the Queen Boss judges gave her more to think about in terms of just forming her business and making it stronger. Because Candy mentioned something crucial. She said, you know, because she hasn't hired a team, if you're going to build an empire, you can't build an empire without a team. And I think she said an empire because she knows that Monique mentioned Duncan Hines, and Duncan Hines is an empire. And so Candy's point was, if there's no one to help you, if you were to get sick today or tomorrow and all the recipes and everything lie with you, your business is going down in flames. If there's no one to back you up, and if there's no one that knows your recipes and pretty much knows how to do what you do. So a couple of things that I was thinking was, you know, when Lauren asked about her marketing, I was just thinking Sweets for Miles. When I heard this, my first thing was I knew I had a slight intro to her story from the advertisements. So I knew that there was something dealing with her son, but her son's name is Miles. So you say sweets for Miles. And when you say sweets for Miles, it has a double meaning to me, because sweets for Miles is in memory of her son, but sweets for Miles could always mean like, could also mean like, hey, I have sweets for days. Come to this bakery. I have every sweet that you could possibly think of and possibly want. We have sweets for Miles. That could be a good marketing approach for her, but I think she really probably needed someone to be able to help her see the vision in that way. Unfortunately, that's not exactly what the judges were there for, but they did throw in their two cents and say what they had to say. So during their deliberation, Melody was Candy's favorite. She liked her packaging. She liked her mission statement. And she liked Melody's passion. Melody with the Soul Savers, the little shoes, the ballet looking flats. Candy really liked hers. But she didn't know if Melody had really hit the ball out of the park with making women know and understand and really feel like they needed her product. That was Candy's concern. Carla noted for Monique that Monique had passion. She had plenty of passion and she liked the story. But then Lauren chimed in and said that, you know, the one thing is that she hasn't turned into the businesswoman yet. And Candy was basically with her commentary saying, you know, Monique needs a team like yesterday. That's what I took from it. So then with Dana, they all agreed that she was a businesswoman. She had sales going. She had her customer base already. But Lauren was caught up in Dana not really having that relatable factor when she first came in with her pitch. So all of these women did a really, really good job with their pitches. They brought things that were new. The thing that I did like was that two of them had products that were already in the marketplace, so it really made it more challenging for them, and you could see how they had to dig deep to figure out what's going to make me, you know, make myself stand out, because there are competing products out there already. It's not like I'm bringing something new and innovative to the market space. I'm bringing something that people may have seen before, but now I have to convince them why they should have my product and why they should use my product. So I like that there was that idea incorporated as well, because sometimes you think you have to make something that's new and never heard of before. But hey, you can also be a competitor where there's already other people in the space. You just have to know how to navigate. So the judges deliberated, and in the end, they voted Monique Johnson and her Sweets for Miles out. Next up, you had the business challenge. So for the business challenge, the goal was to test the ladies and their elevator pitching skills. They had to get in the elevator at One World Observatory to pitch Erica Dinah Monahan, who is a startup investor. So Erica was already on the elevator, and they had to then get on the elevator, pitch Erica about a bottle of water, a Queen Boss bottle of water, and they had to convince her to want to take a follow-up meeting with them. Melody was first, and she pitched her water from the angle of beauty and hydration. And I do feel like she was thinking quick on her feet with how she approached her pitch. Dana pitched from a perspective of the ingredients in the water. I don't know if this was true or she was making this stuff up, but she was quoting percentages of special ingredients from India that the water had in it, and the electrolytes, and how it was it reduced inflammation and it made it great for a woman on the go such as Erica, a queen boss who was already out there moving and shaking in the streets. She sold her on the benefits that this water would have for a woman that led a hectic business lifestyle such as Erica did. So Dana ended up winning the challenge. They didn't say exactly why Erica decided to go with Dana and why she won the challenge. I thought that might have been helpful for both women, so you can understand sort of what someone's thought process is from an investor's perspective, because the idea was to pitch her. She is an investment, and to try to get her to want a follow-up meeting with you. So, okay, well, if Dana won, what made Erica want the follow-up meeting with Dana? I would have liked to know if I was a contestant. In the end, Dana won the challenge, so it was good for her. I think that made her feel good, especially off of the harsh critique that Lauren gave her about not being personable enough. She went in that elevator trying to be as personable as she possibly could. Now the judges had to deliberate between the two women, and when it came down to it, Lauren said straight up she didn't want either product, okay? She wasn't checking for either one of the products. She said that she wasn't planning on, she wouldn't give her credit card to Dana to be charged every month for some products, some sample size products. I was like, ooh. But she was speaking her truth. And maybe, you know, Lauren wasn't a part of Dana's target audience. That all of the judges agreed that Melody was playing to win. Like, she came there to play to win. They liked the philanthropic element. It definitely wasn't lost on Carla because she mentioned it. And they also talked about the fact that the subscription box thing is very hot right now. And, you know, there's everybody's doing it. But Lauren did say, hey, although everyone's doing it, because she has over 2,000 people subscribed, somebody must be into it. Somebody must be checking for what she's putting out there. So they left it at that. The ladies were brought back in after the deliberation, and the person that was selected to go on to the semi-final round was Dana Hill with her Cocotique, her beauty boxes. Dana was selected. She was really, really happy, and I'm interested to see what Dana is going to bring and what she's going to do in the final episode so that we can see how she took the judges' critiques and really flipped it and potentially, you know, made herself and her business 10 times better. Because I think that she really did take that critique to heart, and she tried to make changes even in this episode. So I'm excited to see what she's going to come up with and what she'll do in the final episode. If I'm not mistaken, next week is our final episode, and we'll probably know who the queen boss is at that point. So it's exciting. Looking forward to it. And as always, thank you so much for joining me on this Queen Boss episode 5 recap. Keep killing it.